Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Walt Schammel, Master Flight Instructor, 2004 National Safety Counselor of the Year, and retired FAA Inspector from Fort White, Florida, who is today's host.
Hello, everyone. My name is Walt Schammel. I'm your host with the Florida Aviation Network. We're broadcasting live and in the clear from the Florida Air Museum during the 40th Sun and Fun Fly-In and Exposition in Lakeland, Florida. Our guest today is Jamie Beckett. Jamie, I understand you're with the Polk Aviation Alliance.
I am. I'm the president and CEO, which just means I'm one of the old guys. But yeah, it's a great organization that we've developed here locally. And it's probably worth pointing out for folks who aren't familiar with the geography of Florida, Polk County's right dead smack in the middle of the state. It's roughly twice the size of the state of Rhode Island, but there's no overarching aviation authority. All the airports are owned by municipalities. So to this point, they never talked to each other. And we kind of came up with the idea, what if we actually got all the airport directors together, places like Sun and Fun, Central Florida Aerospace Academy, Polk State College, what if we got all those aerospace entities together at the same table and started planning for our future together? And it's actually worked out. We're doing that.
What is the Polk Aviation Alliance?
Well, really it's an advocacy group, I think you could say. We try to make the point, not just to aviation entities, but more particularly to governmental bodies and business groups like chambers of commerce, that aviation is an industry. It's not something that you have to decide if you like it or you don't like it. It's an industry that we can really leverage to our advantage, and that's true of any community anywhere. So I really go out, I talk to a lot of civic groups, a lot of government groups, I do a lot of letter writing and handshaking and that sort of thing. And we try and impress upon them that if we link our educational system to aviation, we give kids a reason to want to become good at communication or navigation or algebra or any of the skills you need in aviation. We also try to make the point that if you're in a non-aviation business, if you own a golf course or a sports shop or a hardware store, it doesn't really matter. When people come into your airport, those are new potential customers who aren't from your market. If you can avail yourself to that customer, you can earn dollars that you wouldn't have made otherwise. And I'm really thrilled we're starting to get traction. People are really starting to see, and an event like Sun Fun is a tremendous example. Thousands and thousands of people come to Polk County who otherwise wouldn't. And they come here for aviation. But that doesn't mean they won't go fishing or play golf or go out to dinner or stay in a hotel. They have a heck of an economic impact. So that's kind of what we do. We advocate for aviation as an industry everywhere.
The Polk Aviation Alliance, how does it relate to the State Office of Aviation?
Well, we don't deal with each other directly so much so far, although we've touched base. I mean, I've been lucky enough to talk to the governor a couple times, have a great relationship with our state representation. So they're aware we're here and we're aware they're there. But we haven't found a way to directly interact yet in a beneficial way. And I'm not big on twisting people's arms if there's no specific end game. So I'm pleased to say we have a good working relationship and we're aware of each other. But right now, we're both just sitting waiting to help the other when the project comes along that benefits it.
Jamie, is the aviation and aerospace part of the education system in this area?
It is, and it wasn't until fairly recently, but I'm really thrilled that it is. Right here on the grounds of Lakeland Linder Airport, for instance, there's a high school, Central Florida Aerospace Academy, and when someone comes to Sun Fun, they walk right by it as they come through the turnstiles. That's a regular public high school. It's attached to Kathleen High School. It's considered a workforce academy. They have four different aerospace tracks there, whether you want to be in the pilot track or maintenance track or avionics or administration. And frankly, a lot of the kids who go there don't intend to make a career out of aviation, but they're in an environment where achievement is the norm. There's a positive peer pressure. And you know, from being a flight instructor and a designated examiner, achievement's the whole point. We don't do a lot of marking time, just punch the clock and fill the seat. And consequently, It's been fantastic. This high school, for instance, has a 100% graduation rate. And as a public school, every kid who has ever entered that high school has graduated. And virtually all of them have gone on to college. That's a real testament to what you can do if you try. Now, just in the past year, Polk State College, which is based here in Polk County as well, has started an aerospace program with administration and pilot science, which means those high school kids, as they graduate, they can dual enroll in the college and be most of the way to an associate's degree when they leave high school. But they can also go into a very affordable flight program at a state college that'll leave them with a four-year degree and really usher them right into an employment situation. So aviation has been a tremendous tool for us, linking education to the economy so that kids really have benefit.
What do you think aviation can help the local economics?
You know, that's a really good question, Walt, and it's a tough one because most people don't see it. In October, I was out in California speaking to the California Pilots Association. And as you know, there's some airports in California that are at risk. People want to shut them down, Santa Monica being the most noteworthy. And I toured that facility. It's a beautiful facility. I talked to their airport manager. But I was struck as I was there, everybody thought it was a revolutionary idea to connect your educational system to the airport. And I just don't, and the Alliance doesn't. We think that's an obvious connection. It was a great opportunity to be out west and talking to hundreds of people who are involved in aviation and make that point that we have our kids in school so that they'll be employable, so that they'll have a skill they can use. And we have aviation, which has completely changed the way the world lives. You know, I'm kind of prone to tell the story. My granddad was born in 1898 in what's now Pinellas County, where St. Pete is. He didn't see a car till he was 12. There wasn't a paved road in the state. If you wanted to get from this part of Florida to New York City, it was going to take months. Well, now you can get to Europe in a matter of hours. Aviation made that possible, not just for passengers, but for freight. If your business is depending on a part for a machine, and that part is in Alaska, you can have it tomorrow because of aviation. So the idea of being able to connect education to the airport, so there's an obvious and viable path to employment, that attracts employers. Because if I've got a school producing high quality students, why wouldn't I want my business here where I can go interview those students and say, I'll take your top five graduates every year. I want them in my company. And that becomes part of the churning of the economy. It starts building your opportunities. You know, we had talked earlier, and one of the misconceptions is the airport as an entity doesn't make a lot of money. That's not what it's for. It's a gateway to your community. It's a tool you can use to leverage the other opportunities you've got. It's a way in and out, whether that's by airline, which is common in America now, or whether it's by general aviation. And, you know, as most people aren't aware, there are many times more general aviation airports than there are airports that handle transport category aircraft. So really, it doesn't matter where you are. If you're in Kansas or Ohio or New Jersey or Oregon, aviation can really expand and strengthen, diversify your economy if you work it as the tool it truly is.
Well, I know from reading some of the statistics in the state of Florida, there's over 800 airports just in the state, and they have about a 98% use because of the weather.
Oh yeah, it's great. Look at what we have here. It's spectacular.
I'll give you an example. Except for the fog.
Just a small mom and pop operation, Jack Brown Seaplane Base in my hometown, Winter Haven, Florida. It's literally just a small building on stilts out over Lake Jesse. But on the time they've been in business, they've trained more than 17,000 pilots. Now beyond the pilots, they bring spouses, they bring children, they go on vacation. That has a phenomenal economic impact, and that's just one privately owned facility. And as you said, there's over 800 of them here in Florida. Aviation has tremendous potential. The problem, as I see it, is generally the business community and political entities don't understand it. We're very highly regulated, very specialized skills and education to get us into aviation, and they don't understand it. And because they misunderstand it, they mismanage it. And it's not malice, it's just ignorance. I've found recently, as I talk to political and business groups, if I stop talking to them about the airport as an airport, I'm much more successful. If I start talking to them, to envision it as a mall, a large commercial piece of real estate that's underperforming. And imagine if you have a mall with no anchor stores. You got a couple kiosks rented, and maybe you've got one outlet in the food court, and a couple of the minor stores, but no big drivers. Well, your mall's going to fail. If they start thinking of it in those terms, well, now they know how to hire a person to manage the mall, because that makes sense to them. It never made sense to them to hire somebody to manage the airport effectively, because they don't know what happens there.
Well, you've been doing this for about 2 years now.
With the Alliance, yes, sir.
What do you think the next step is with the Alliance?
Actually, that's a great point. The next step for us is really to expand our success. We've proven this can work here, and we'll continue to work on it. We're working right now on getting another high school built on the east side of the county, because this county being twice the size of Rhode Island, transit's a problem. So while this school is very successful, it's at maximum capacity now with 100% graduation rate, there are very few kids from the east side of the county there. So we're putting efforts into getting that moved over there, getting a new school built and accessing those students. But we'll be doing more outreach too, going to other states, working with AOPA and EAA, and going out to places like the California Pilots Association. One of the great things about being an advocate is we don't have any arbitrary limits. If you come from anywhere USA and you want to know how to do what we're doing, we'll tell you, no charge.
Speaking of no charge, is there a charge for going to this particular school academy across the street?
No, actually, this is a free public high school. So if a student applies to this school and they're not accepted based on their grades, they're accepted based on their openings. It doesn't matter if you're a high-performing student or a low-performing student. You're allowed to come in. Where this school really excels is by sophomore year, they start to intervene on students having trouble. Rather than boot them out like other schools would do, they start working with them one-on-one to raise their standard and really catch up with their peers. And it's been working great. So that's the great advantage. You can go to a school like this, and you're probably aware of this here. We were previously an agricultural county, fairly poor, not particularly impressive school system. So to have a place like this where a kid whose parents pick tomatoes for a living can go to school here with no money at all and get a really high quality education along with a program that'll allow them to dual enroll with college. They can even avail themselves of a scholarship program to learn to fly if they want. Some of these kids learn to fly with no money out of pocket. That's a pretty amazing thing, to get a private pilot's license for no cash. And frankly, it doesn't really matter if you become an airline pilot. When that kid finishes high school and then goes on to college, and if they decide they want to be an architect, they're going to turn in a resume someday, and it's going to go in a stack of 150 others that look exactly the same, except theirs says pilot on the bottom. Somebody in that organization knows what that means, that you did something hard. You did something that required you to meet a standard that's really inflexible. You'll do this. You're going to get an interview. So that opportunity, this high school, really does elevate the opportunities for not just the wealthy and the privileged kids in this county, but the kids who are at the very bottom of the economic scale. They have an absolutely equal shot, and it's working.
I've talked with several of the students yesterday, and they talked about you mentioned four different career paths. But a couple of them talked about they wanted to be aerospace engineers.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's a lot of schools for that, and they're working toward leading into that university. It's going to be interesting to see their motivation to take them all the way through to their goal.
It absolutely is, and I'll tell you, one of the things I'm most proud of is in this past year, the Alliance, in conjunction with our partners and our members, Sun and Fun and the school system, we established a partnership with JetBlue Airlines. And JetBlue's training facility is in Orlando. They do 90% of their training there. They now bring our high school and college students up to their training facility, let them fly their simulators with a training captain, let them go work in the maintenance bays with their maintenance crews, see what the job is really like. And actually, right after this interview, I'm scurrying out to the flight line. They're flying in today, their CEO and their corporate officers in an Airbus, and they're going to be presenting a check for $25,000 from the JetBlue Foundation to Sun and Fun to support the power plant mechanics program here. When you can have the kind of impact that a New York-based airline starts saying you're doing something that's really working, and you could handle a couple extra dollars, we'll come down and we'll help you out. That's incredible. And as you know, this industry is so misunderstood, even by people getting into it. Being 16, 17, 18 years old and being able to walk into a training facility for an airline right alongside their other crew members and work right alongside them and see what this job really is like, that's invaluable to a teenager. They truly understand where they could go if they want to, and they have the opportunity to make connections and network and find out about making connections that'll get them that job if that's what they want.
A lot of people see just getting through high school, that's the end of it, and they go out into the work process. But with this high school, it's only a step into the next one, into the next one.
Yeah.
And you're developing people into a career. The school you're talking about trying to build on the east side of the county, are they going to have a different specialty, or are they going to be also aviation?
Right now, we're at the point of finding a location and the facilities that will let the students start. I suspect it would mimic this largely. I don't know if it would, and that's the school system's question. My role is to help find a place that will work and put together. I'm the dating service that puts together all the players. I suspect they would start mimicking this because it's been successful, but then in both places, they would start adding in components that would work for them. But you know, you make a really valid point about this high school leads to college, leads to something else. We live in a technological age. The days of finishing your education at 17 are over. You'll stagnate and you'll fall farther and farther behind. Aviation is one of those areas, like medicine, where lifelong learning is built into the program. We were just talking earlier, I'm a flight instructor, you're a designated examiner. I have to go through continuing education every 24 months to renew my flight instructor certificate. When you can talk to a 15-year-old and explain, that's my lifestyle, that's my job, that's built into what I do, they start thinking it's not a punishment, it's an opportunity. To get that job, I have to do the 6-month recurrent training or the 24-month recurrent training or whatever. And they no longer see it as oppressive. They see it as, yeah, this is opportunity. I get to do this. And frankly, for a generation raised on video games, you throw them in a $14 million simulator, they're pretty happy.
Yeah, those simulators cost as much as the airplane.
They're amazing, truly amazing. And I've been there when kids who don't want to be pilots, they want to be engineers. They go fly the Airbus sim. And it's incredible, and it really brings me back to early in my flight training experience. I was a flight instructor in Connecticut at one point, not too far from Sikorsky Aircraft. And my flight school had fixed wing and rotor wing. And we had a deal with Sikorsky where their engineers could come out and get 20 hours of training on the company. And they did it because while they didn't want to get the license and fly, they got to see the application of their work in real life. And it changed the way they did their work and their tolerances they built in. So there's real benefit to even somebody who has no intention of flying or being a mechanic, that engineering or that administrative student, getting in the simulator or getting into the maintenance bay and seeing how does this really work. That's an incredible tool.
It also teaches you a logical thought process that a lot of the other educational programs don't.
Mm-hmm.
And with engineering and with aviation, you have to follow, if you will, a checklist, and it's got to be done exactly according to the procedure. I'm a civil engineer and electrical engineer. I've got a PhD, and when I do something, I've got a checklist that I have to go by. Doctors,
mm-hmm.
when they're doing medical studies, they've got that checklist.
And it saves your butt.
We're teaching the students a logical thought process.
Well, and you know, you've probably experienced this yourself, having been in the FBO business and flight instruction. People generally think flying is hard, and flying is not hard. A 10-year-old can fly an airplane. The thought processes, the education that allows you to make good decisions, that's a challenge, and that takes time. But being able to just pull on the stick or move the throttle, that's not particularly difficult. But once people start getting into this process and they start realizing it's the decision-making that makes this safe. It's the decision-making process that we all go through and that we constantly basically act as researchers. We gather our information, we analyze it, we make a decision, we repeat through the entire flight. That's what makes aviation so mysterious to people, because in their real life, they never do that.
Well, a lot of people think that aviation is a little bit strange and difficult, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
It does require a certain amount of education. It also involves a certain mindset. And the last time I looked at some FAA statistics, only 0.16% of the population are pilots. Mm-hmm. And not all of them fly. They hold a certificate.
Right.
But we learned in 9/11, unfortunately, when the entire civil aviation was grounded, what a tremendous impact that small little segment of the population has. And you're working in that area in improving it.
Yeah, I've tried to make that point to people before. If you think aviation doesn't touch your life, wait until a loved one or a friend is involved in a really tragic accident and they're stuck on the side of the road and in a car that's crumpled up. You're hoping a helicopter comes and lifts them off to a trauma center. Aviation affects all our lives, whether we think it does or not. I use the example of Apple Computer a lot, strangely enough. People don't see it. Apple is tremendously successful, has more money than most countries. And they do that because they do a thing called just-in-time manufacturing. Worldwide, they only have 2.5 days inventory on the shelf. They don't have billions and billions of dollars caught up. And they do it because just-in-time manufacturing allows them to build a product in Shenzhen, China, put it on a truck, drive it to Hong Kong, fly it to the United States or Europe or wherever it's got to go, and it's there the next day. So while we're filming this on a Wednesday, the products that will be sold next Monday in Orlando and Tampa don't yet exist. Aviation makes it possible for Apple Computer to do the business model they do. So it doesn't matter if you think aviation touches you or not. It does.
Well, we heard a lot about the space industry, and it's very, very active here in the state of Florida. And there seems to be a question both at the federal level in Congress and so forth, and here in the state about should we continue to spend any money, should we support it? And most people don't realize that all of our hand power tools, Ziploc bags, a tremendous effect that we've had from the aerospace industry.
You know, I think, Walt, people in our age bracket have a real advantage because we remember 1964, before space was a big thing in our culture. The technology has changed dramatically. Everything, I mean, even our phones, the miniaturization of electronics came through NASA. And really, it wasn't the government that did it. They handed out contracts to private providers, Lockheed Martin and United Technologies and Rockwell and Boeing. They all developed new technologies to make these missions possible. It's pretty incredible, but aviation shows more than anything else what humankind can do if they really put their mind and their resources to it. And it's been tremendously successful to the point where today, nothing on Earth is truly inaccessible. You can even get to Antarctica to drop somebody up or pick somebody up if you have to. That wasn't the case just 30 years ago.
We've made a lot of inroads. And speaking of inroads, how does the Alliance fit in with the adjacent counties?
You know, that's a really interesting question. The thing I get most, and Lights Leanouts here at Sun and Fun has had the same experience up at AirVenture, talking to people. And we explain how we've got these multiple airport directors sitting down with two or three different tourist-driven entities that are aviation-based, and we work together, and people will shake their head and say, you can't do that. They won't work together. And we say, well, we are working together. The more we get recognition and people realize we really are doing what we say we're doing. Gene Conrad, the airport director here, really does sit down with Cindy Barrow from Bartow and Debbie Murphy from Winter Haven, and they really do plan. As a matter of fact, two of them are on our board of directors. The surrounding counties will start to recognize, and we've started talking to them, and they start to recognize that, wait a minute, you're doing something we didn't even think was possible. Not only is it possible, it can be successful. Let's start doing that. And where I'm hoping we go ultimately, Walt, is what you're talking about. Aerospace has given tremendous benefits to the world through technology, through shrinking space that we can get where we need to get in a timely fashion. It's made international commerce much, much easier and efficient. I'd like to get us to where we really embrace that more. And frankly, because we see the former Soviet states, China, India becoming much more capitalist, much more affluent. Aviation is going to grow dramatically in the world, whether we believe it or not. It is growing dramatically. We've been a leader in this for over 100 years. We're going to have to make an effort to maintain that leadership role. And we can. but we really have to embrace it. We have to start looking at the successful models around us that are working and get in with those.
Are you planning on, in the near future, being able to expand the high school here? You said it was already maxed out as far as number of students.
Right, and that's why we've started looking at moving one to the east side of the county. The option is we either build another wing on this school here, which is a possibility, or we accept that there's a market for this. This school has hit capacity in a relatively short time. Build one on the east side. We have two airports on the east side, Bartow and Winter Haven. Either one could accommodate a high school. So we're looking at the opportunities to put it in either of those places, talking to the city commissions in both of those cities, really starting to get things lined up. But the important thing to me is not where it is, it's that we've shown success through this school. Not just from the institutional level. The students themselves are benefiting. They're graduating. They're going on to college. They're more employable. That's really what an education system is about. It's not about satisfying the administrators or the union or the groundskeepers. It's what effect are you having on the students. When you see success like that, you really need to run with it. So what I suspect we will be successful in moving one to the east side of the county, because with this one already at capacity and knowing there's very few students coming from the east side, it wouldn't make much sense to leave a group of students unserved when you know they want to be a part of things.
Lakeland's right on the county line.
Yeah, it's right.
And
right
Hillsborough's right next to us with Tampa. Do you have any relationship with the Tampa area?
Through the foreign trade zone. It's not an official relationship with the Alliance, but yeah, there's increasingly connections between the Tampa and Polk County area, and it comes from a weird place, water, really. Water is where our relationship starts because we're on the high ground in the center of the state. It's called the Ridge. All water that goes to Tampa, all the rainwater, starts here and flows downhill, all the rivers and creeks and everything. That began the relationship between the counties, where we really have to work together. And once you start working together on that, you start working together on other things. And yeah, aviation, because of the nature of it, it becomes increasingly advantageous to start talking to each other, because as we have more and more flight training here with our high school and college programs and the flight schools on the various fields, you have to be able to work seamlessly with the international airports at Orlando and Tampa. You know, if you look at a sectional chart for this area, the Class Bravo airspace for Orlando and Tampa just about touches right over us. So we have a tremendous opportunity here, but you've got to work together with your partners so our traffic doesn't adversely affect them, vice versa. And we know what each other is doing because we can, frankly, benefit each other economically.
You mentioned Brown Seaplane Base.
I love that place.
It's a great place to visit. I like to fly over there myself, but I have noticed that when you go to Europe and the students buy hats or a shirt and they wear it in Europe, people come up to them and say, Browns.
Yeah.
They're internationally known. This is going to happen to this school.
Yes, it will. It will. And you're exactly right. I when I first got involved with the Alliance and politics and trying to make headway, I used Browns as an example to a city administrator who absolutely didn't believe me because it's a small place. He absolutely didn't believe me that it was known outside of this little area. And he went on a family trip to Kentucky, and he was on a boat, and somebody came up to him. He was wearing a Browns hat and said, hey, isn't that in Winter Haven, Florida? And he bought it. So you're right. This is going to spread.
Well, we're going to find out as we continue to watch over the next couple of years. Jamie, very glad that you could be with us to celebrate 40 great years of Sun and Fun.
Isn't that amazing? Thanks, Walt.
And thank you for joining us. My name is Walt Schammel. I'm your host with the Florida Aviation Network, and I'll see you the next time.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.